Most of us rush through Thanksgiving and see the dinner even as something to move past in order to get to what we really love. In this case, it was the football games, right? Whatever you want is what you're going to actually see on Thanksgiving. It's only the outsider that takes a look at the spectacle, that notices what's happening. When Jesus healed the ten lepers, and nine went off to do what they wished, and the one returned, it wasn't as surprising as we might imagine. You see, developing gratitude or maintaining gratitude is difficult when you expect blessing, healing, and grace. You see, everyone else in that family knew what they did. They understood the different things that a family goes through on a Thanksgiving day. They knew what food to expect. They knew what prayer would be prayed. They knew how their hands were supposed to be. It was the outsider who didn't understand, who couldn't imagine for a moment what they were doing and why. It was brand new for him. And being brand new, it had a sense of wonder, a sense of joy, a sense of purpose, a sense of, shall we say it, thanksgiving. If you don't have that wonder, if you expect it to happen, then you are likely going to not be thankful that it does. You see, expectation decreases gratitude. The more we expect it to happen, the more we will get angry if it doesn't, and the less we'll be thankful when it does. Expectation can destroy gratitude. In many ways, this is an arrow to the heart of the church, and that the church over the past several decades has been taught that our faith is a matter of expectation of God's action. In other words, to be faithful in God is to know that God will act, to be assured. And yet, in that very assurance lies the seeds of our own complacency and spiritual destruction. Because the more we know, the less we believe, the less we give thanks for what God has done. A couple of things come out in the passage from Luke. The first thing that we have to remember is that the person who came back was a foreigner, a Samaritan. Jesus is at a border town. A border town that is between Israel and Samaria. And in that border town, there is a leper colony. And 10 of them run out to get forgiveness, to get healing, to become real citizens once again. Now, I want to make sure you understand this, because a leper wasn't just someone with a skin disease. A leper was a social outcast. It's hard to even imagine the level of outcast that these people were in, because to even touch them meant that you would also become an outcast and that you would also suffer from this same disease of the skin and of the body. Anytime you hear of an outbreak of a grave disease, and there's been a recent one, there's been a plague outbreak again in Africa, the news reports it breathlessly and says, hey, you know, we need to restrict travel. We need to make sure that we're not in contact with people that might have this disease, right? You don't want to have your people exposed to what they have. Lepers stood as always being unclean. To a Jew, it meant separation from the community. To a Gentile, it meant separation from loved ones. It meant that they could no longer sit at a Thanksgiving dinner. They could no longer be at a family gathering. They were literally, they had to leave their homes, leave their families, and all they can do is be with other people like them, other outcasts. So when Jesus tells them that they are healed and they should go to present themselves to the priests at the temple, here's what you have to understand. None of them wanted to waste time doing this. There's another thing you have to understand. Only the Jews cared about what Jesus told them to do. A Gentile would not think for a moment to go to Jerusalem, to go to an Israelite priest, to get a blessing to return to an Israelite community. A Gentile would be going in the opposite direction, to Gentile territory, to find healing in his community. So as the ten leave, the assumption is that when they get to the temple, when they get to the holy place, then they will be healed. Why? Because we all think that destination is healing. But destination is never the goal. It makes us angry. And it frustrates us because I've got friends, Ed Sladek and I have a colleague who every time we talk about the dance of God, he goes like the veins in his head pop. And because the idea that this journey, this dance that we're on is somehow changing us as we walk is frustrating to anyone that has goals or achievement. Anyone that wants to complete a task. The worst thing about being a pastor is that you're never done. Your tasks are never completed. Every time you preach on a Sunday, you start preparing on a Monday. Every person you bury, you get up the next day and you have someone that you bring into the world. You have a marriage. You're always in the midst and never at the end. And our society is built on endings and completion, not on journey. As the ten lepers are going, as they walked, they were healed. It wasn't a destination healing. It wasn't when they got there. It was as they were on the journey. They noticed that they were healed. And the nine dutifully went where they were told. Why? They were Jews. And they went to re-enter culture. And they went faster when they saw the healing occur. And the tenth turned around and went back. This says something about the nature of Thanksgiving that we've been talking about today. Thanksgiving is about being surprised and not knowing what to do. You see, the Jewish members of this contingent knew what to do and why they were going. They knew that they were going to receive the promise from the priest, the permission from the priest. They were there to fulfill all expectations so that they could legally re-enter into society. The tenth man, the Samaritan, he was going because Jesus told him to go. There was no expectations. He was like Michael Orr at the table. What do you mean hold hands? Where am I supposed to sit? What am I supposed to do? He's new. And so he just drinks it in wonder and enjoy. The foreigner comes back and does what is right because he has no expectations in his life. I want to show you another video clip. You haven't gotten some video in a while, so I'm just going to keep throwing it at you. This one comes from an Academy Award acceptance speech from Matthew McConaughey. Now, most Academy speeches are all about the completion of a journey. They're all about how good it is to be so good. McConaughey's speech kind of blew people away because it was something different. It was a little bit of a life lesson. And it was a life lesson that many of us can take note of. He talks about looking up, looking forward, and chasing someone. Watch the speech. There's a lot of clapping, and he's a good-looking guy. So ladies, just pay attention to the words, not to how good-looking he is. Let's take a look.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to the Academy for this. All 6,000 members, thank you to the other nominees. All these performances were impeccable, in my opinion. I didn't see a false note anywhere. I want to thank Jean-Marc Vallée, our director. I want to thank Jared Leto, Jennifer Garner, who I worked with daily. There's a few things, about three things to my account that I need each day. One of them is something to look up to, another is something to look forward to, and another is someone to chase. Now, first off, I want to thank God, because that's who I look up to. He has graced my life with opportunities that I know are not of my hand or any other human hand. He has shown me that it's a scientific fact that gratitude reciprocates. In the words of the late Charlie Lawton, who said, when you got God, you got a friend, and that friend is you. To my family, that's who and what I look forward to. To my father, who I know is up there right now with a big pot of gumbo. He's got a lemon meringue pie over there. He's probably in his underwear, and he's got a cold can of Miller Lite, and he's dancing right now. To you, Dad, you taught me what it means to be a man. To my mother, who's here tonight, who taught me and my two older brothers demanded that we respect ourselves. And what we in turn learned was then we were better able to respect others. Thank you for that, Mama. To my wife, Camilla, and my kids, Levi, Vita, and Mr. Stone, the courage and significance you give me every day I go out the door is unparalleled. You are the four people in my life that I want to make the most proud of me. Thank you. And to my hero, that's who I chase. Now, when I was 15 years old, I had a very important person in my life come to me and say, who's your hero? And I said, I don't know. I got to think about that. Give me a couple of weeks. I come back 2 weeks later. This person comes up and says, who's your hero? I said, I thought about it. You know who it is? I said, it's me in 10 years. So I turned 25 10 years later. That same person comes to me and goes, so are you a hero? And I was like, not even close. No, no, no. She said, why? I said, because my hero is me at 35. So you see, every day, every week, every month, and every year of my life, my hero's always 10 years away. I'm never going to be my hero. I'm not going to attain that. I know I'm not. And that's just fine with me because that keeps me with somebody to keep on chasing. So to any of us, whatever those things are, whatever it is we look up to, whatever it is we look forward to, and whoever it is we're chasing, to that I say amen. To that I say all right, all right, all right. And to that I say just keep living, huh? Thank you.
All right, all right, all right, right? Matthew McConaughey recognizes that in life we have to have something to look up to, something to look forward to, and someone to chase. One of the things that Thanksgiving brings us is an understanding that what we have is not ours. We haven't achieved it on our own. It's not, you can't give thanks to something that you've earned in a way that you give thanks to something that's given. No one writes a thank you note to their boss for giving them their paycheck. They just get angry if they don't get the paycheck, right? Expectation doesn't breed thanksgiving. Thanksgiving comes from an understanding that what you have received is gift. It's grace in your life. When you understand that God is in control and that God is giving to you things that though you've worked hard, you don't deserve, It places you in a different mindset. It helps you to frame your life differently and to see the blessings of life instead of to live based on achievement. You know, one of the difficult things about living on achievement is that living on achievement means that you always have to live up to achievement. And so you can never feel like you're safe. Because every moment you have to top the next. This is what happens to actors all the time. Whenever a Hollywood actor reaches success, it's all downhill from then. How can they get better than the best? People who find success often find that it's empty because they had expectations that when they get there, things will change. The problem is that life doesn't change with success. You're the same person successful, and your same insecurities follow you, no matter what other people say. The prettiest girl in the room always knows her own imperfections and thinks that she's not that good looking. When you have God that you look up to, and when you have a proper understanding of thanksgiving, you're able to acknowledge that what you have comes from God. You can chronicle your life and see where God has moved in your life and where the blessings have been received. And then you can begin to look forward. And looking forward means planning to please the people around you, to give back. See, most people look forward in achievement in today's world. But in the end, what you have to look forward to is the things that are real. When Matthew McConaughey talks about looking forward to his family, what he's recognizing is what's real in his life. That he works to be with them. That's his real goal. Now, the world will beat you up if you think that's your real goal. Because outside of having a cup that says world's greatest dad, there's not a whole lot of other awards that they give for that, are there? Yet moms, dads, the most important thing that you've done in your life is raise your kids. Those of you who have taught or preached or worked with other people, the most important thing that you leave is the legacy that you've given to those that you've taught. It's about those who you've moved forward with. God is good when we reciprocate. And Thanksgiving as a day and as a season and as an attitude is taking the time to evaluate what God has done in your life so that you can continue with the joy that God has given to you to inspire you for your next day. The blessing that you've received is a blessing that you can now give. I'm thankful for my parents, and so I give blessing to my children. I look backward to look forward. I evaluate my life and I push on. Knowing, and the last thing is this, knowing that I'm never there. You see, the problem with Thanksgiving as achievement-based is that it assumes that you're going to accomplish something and then be able to rest. Thanksgiving as an achievement, basically we give thanks when we're done, puts us in a position where we never find ourselves in a thankful moment. Our society, I think, has lost the joy of Thanksgiving, primarily because we've turned the completion of a task into the ultimate idol. My grandfather's generation would never sell a company to make a payday. They never would have done that. They never would have taken a startup company and sold it for $1 billion to another company. The reason was simple, because it wasn't about money for them. For them, it was about getting up and going to work every day. It was about the job. And because of that, my grandfather, who was a barber, woke up every day and he cut hair. That's what he did. That's who he was. When he retired and he handed off the barbershop to his nephew, he then cut hair. I remember my grandfather, 88, 90 years old, stepping away at a holiday time, telling us he was going to cut hair for the old people at the nursing home. And he would go to, he would walk across the street, down the road to the Lutheran Center, and he would give people shaves and haircuts. My grandfather was probably a decade older than the people he was shaving. But guess what? That was what he did. That was his blessing. That's what he could give. And he was going to give it. And he was never going to be done. Thanksgiving is chasing the future. And knowing that we're never done until God tells us we're done. That's why we can look in wonder to all of our tomorrows. Because no matter what we have, we can give. We can do who we are, not what we can give. So many of you are mistaken in thinking that you don't have anything to give because you don't think it's good enough. You don't think you can do it well anymore. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Are you you? Be you for somebody. Be your best for somebody tomorrow. Whatever gifts that God has given you, share them. You might not have the best voice in the world, and you might have had a great voice 10 years ago. But you don't want to sing because your voice isn't that good anymore, or you're concerned about that. Sing. Find a way to live your faith today and give thanks for the gift that you can bring. Thanksgiving is about knowing your place in God's world and being grateful for it. And realizing that no matter how far we've come, there's more to come. As we continue to push on, serving God and loving each other. This year when we gather around the table, whether it's dressed in a tie or sweatpants or any other way, take a moment. Take inventory, give thanks, look up, look forward, and know that next year God still is calling you. God is calling you to continue to chase the dream of being better tomorrow. And God will continue to do that in your life until he calls you home. Let's pray. Lord God, our life in you is never completed. We're never finished. Help us to be strong in you, to live deep in faith, and to continue to move forward in love. Lord God, help us to know that we live in the journey and to rediscover joy and wonder as we walk in you. Loving God, we thank you for the season of Thanksgiving, for this time that prepares us for the ability to see with wonder and joy once again the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord God, help us to know that all things come from you and that you are calling us to live in you for others with the expectation that every day we will grow in faithfulness and godliness through your Spirit. Move in us and help us to share and experience a blessed Thanksgiving today and forever. And we pray it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.